This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The HBO series Togetherness starts its second season Sunday, February 21st. Our guests, Jay and Mark Duplass, co-created the series. They also write and direct it, and Mark is one of the stars. The Duplass brothers started making films together when they were kids in the 80s, using their dad's VHS camera. They've become known for their lo-fi filmmaking style and have written and directed five feature films, including Jeff Who Lives at Home and Cyrus. Both brothers also act. Mark was a series regular on the FX comedy The League and starred in the films Hump Day, Your Sister's Sister, and The One I Love. Jay co-stars in the Amazon series Transparent as Josh Pfefferman. Their series Togetherness is about four people in their late 30s living in Los Angeles. The characters cope with children, marriage, their work lives, and a general sense of feeling lost. The Duplass brothers spoke with Fresh Air producer Anne-Marie Baldonado. They started with a scene from the show. The main couple in the series has just left a marriage counseling session, and the wife has decided they should do something fun, spend the day at the park with adult friends, no kids. The husband, played by Mark Duplass, agrees to do it, but it's the last thing he wants to do. He's sitting alone in his car outside the park when his sister-in-law, played by Amanda Peet, comes to the car to fetch him.
Yes, I'm coming. I'll be there in a second.
Let's go.
Wait, hold on. I'm not ready yet. I just need like a second.
Don't do this.
Don't do what? What do you?
This whole mood killer thing. She's so psyched, and she really needs this day, and she really needs to party and have fun. And if you're gonna be like this, it's gonna ruin it for her.
Okay, I am trying to get myself ready for that, but it's a little hard for me, okay? Do you understand that?
Yeah, I mean, I do, but just fake it. I mean, do you see this smile? Yeah. I'm dead inside.
Jay and Mark Duplass, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thanks for having us.
Why did you choose to make a TV show about these four characters living in Los Angeles, all in different stages of life, but all kind of lost in searching for something?
We hadn't made a really deeply personal television show or movie in a while. Our first feature we made was called The Puffy Chair, and it was sort of about what our life really felt like in our 20s when we were all kind of dating people for a year or two. And when we came to make Togetherness, we thought, you know, we're hearing lots of conversations about people who are either in their late 30s and married, and they're just an inch from drowning in the sea of their children and their jobs and make everything work, or they haven't found that person yet or haven't even found that traction in their work life.
So one of the things you explore is a marriage, and Michelle and Brett, two of the main characters, they're married with two children. One of them is just kind of out of the infant stage. Why was that something that interests you in particular?
Mark and I both have kids the same age. They're now roughly 7 and 3. And at that time, we were entering that phase. And there's something very, very specific about when your last baby starts sleeping through the night, where you come out of this fugue state of parenting. And in our case, and in the case of the family on Togetherness, it was a 7-year process. And you feel like, oh my God, that was wonderful. We've come out of it. But now it's been 7 years. I don't really know who I am. And you're looking at your spouse and you're like, I don't know who you are. I don't know really what I like anymore, because all of my needs have been subjugated for the good of these babies and our family unit. And you kind of have to refigure everything out.
Now, there's a part of an episode that I want to ask you about. It involves, Mark, your character, Brett. It's a common scenario that any parent might have experienced where everybody's in a rush to get out of the house. You know, your character's yelling at your daughter to get ready. She doesn't want to put her shoes on. You're trying to drive her to school. When you go to the back of the car, she doesn't have her shoes on. And let's take a listen to that scene.
All right, let's go. Why are you not wearing your shoes?
I hate my shoes.
You picked these shoes out. No, hey, we don't say hate, okay? And no kicking. No, okay. I know, Frankie. I'm sorry. We're going to school, and I need to get your socks on. Stop. Do not kick me because the... Ow! All right. Okay, Frankie. Okay.
Why are you so upset right now?
I don't want to go to school.
You don't?
No, I already told you that.
Okay. Why don't you want to go to school?
Because I want to stay with you and Frankie.
You do?
Yes.
What would you like to do instead?
I want to go to the beach.
You want to skip school and go to the beach?
Yeah.
What makes you think that I would let you skip school and go to the beach?
I don't know.
Now, I think that's a common scenario for anyone with small kids. When you sort of have the presence of mind, you know not to kind of escalate it and like yell and yank your kid out of the car to keep going on with the day. But at that moment, the father is able to sort of take a pause and talk to the daughter. Can you talk about writing this scene or moments like this that you based this scene on?
Yeah, I mean, this is where the show gets really personal for us. And these are the kind of things that we talk about with our friends who are parents. And we're just idiots. We get caught up in our own rules and we think like, oh, I have to teach her this lesson that she has to get her shoes on when, what does this really matter? But you end up digging your heels in and you end up yelling and you feel like a terrible parent. And it's just awful. We hate that stuff and yet we can't stop ourselves from doing it. So in that scene in particular, you know, it was a little bit of probably wish fulfillment on our part that like, we could catch ourselves before we go to DEFCON 4 and be that really great understanding parent.
Mark, you've said, well, you both said that you were super close growing up and you continue to be, but growing up you guys shared a room and even shared a bed. What was your relationship like when you were kids?
Single bed.
I was extremely dependent on Jay. He was my spiritual leader. He was my God. He was everything to me. And he was sweet enough to let me play with him because, you know, what brother who has a 4 years his younger little brother wants to hang out with him? So I was really lucky to have that. And we would spend the night in the same bed together. I was scared of the dark. Jay would hang out with me. We would talk about how when we grew up, we were going to like get a house together and like kind of thought that our wives would just like move into the house with us, which is emotionally still kind of how it is to a certain degree. And then something really interesting happened, which was when I was like 14 and Jay was 18, he went to college and had a really hard year and felt very disconnected from home. And then the tables kind of shifted a little bit where I was able for the first time to be strong for Jay and exhibit some level of leadership by just being young and naive enough to just say, it's going to be okay. You're awesome. It's going to be okay. And then we built during those years a truly impenetrable bond.
What kinds of movies and TV did you like when you were kids?
We were in a very specific situation where cable came to our neighborhood in like 1982. And so at that time, HBO was uncurated, so all these movies were coming down the pipeline. And we were watching, like our friends were really into Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, but I don't know, we just didn't go to movies that much. And so we were just watching whatever showed up on HBO. And at that time, you come home from school and like Ordinary People would be on, or Kramer versus Kramer, or Sophie's Choice. Or like not just a hard-hitting dramas, but even like adult sex comedies like Manhattan and Hannah and Her Sisters and all this great adult fare. And our parents did not limit us at all, and Mark and I just like went deep on it. We were just obsessed with these movies and honestly weren't that into Star Wars. It seemed a little silly to us even at the time.
Now, Jay, when you and Mark started making movies together, Jay, you were often the director and Mark was often the actor, and Mark, you've also acted in many movies and TV shows. I think that Jay, people were surprised and very pleased when you became one of the co-stars on the Amazon series Transparent, which
I was surprised,
which released its second season recently. Can you talk about how you became involved in the show? I kind of always assumed that you were reluctant to be an actor.
I wasn't necessarily reluctant to be an actor. It just never occurred to me, honestly. It was more a case of I was our primary camera operator on everything that we've made except for Togetherness. And so I basically met Jill Soloway at a party for directors, where directors sometimes get together because we don't work together on set. It's a way to talk about our process and maybe try and figure out which actors are nice and which actors are mean. And so she was telling me that she had this TV show ready to go, and she had the whole family, but she couldn't find the son. It was really troubling her. She needed a mid-30s, wildly insecure / charismatic Jewish guy, and I was like, oh, man, those are all Mark's and my friends. We know all the actors in town who fit that bill, and I went through a laundry list of guys, and she had considered them all, and then she stopped me after about a half an hour of talking, and she said, it's you. She's like, I think you're him, and I would like you to come in and read. And I was reluctant because Mark and I were just starting our show, Togetherness, and I was nervous. It was the biggest thing that we had ever undertaken. Also, I was like, I'm not really an actor. She said, why don't you come in tomorrow morning and read with Gabby Hoffman and Amy Landecker? And I did. We improvised the barbecue dinner scene that's in the pilot of the show. And sometimes when you're on set, like, magic happens and lightning strikes, and it did happen that day. And I felt like I was Gabby and Amy's brother, and we looked alike, and we talked alike, and we were not afraid to mess with each other and feel that love underneath it all was still going to be there. It was a very strange and magical experience, which I've come to understand is part of what happens when you work with Jill Soloway. But even when I agreed to do it, you know, most pilots don't go to show. It felt like a small web show, honestly, that was being made like an independent film on the east side of LA. I had no idea that it would become, you know, the phenomenon that has become, much less a piece of art at the forefront of a civil rights movement.
There are so many great things about Transparent, but one thing I think it gets really right is something you were just talking about, the relationship between the siblings. I think it gets the way that siblings know each other's secrets, which can mean that, you know, siblings can be really supportive of each other, but it also means that they know what might hurt the most, and they can be, you know, how to be the most brutal. And also, siblings, no matter how old they are, can sometimes revert to old patterns, act like they did when they were kids, when they're hanging out with each other. And I want to play a scene from the first season. Josh, your character has just found out that your parent, who's known as Mort, identifies as a woman named Maura, and Josh is still in shock about the whole situation. The three siblings are in the backyard of their family home, hanging out on playground equipment, and your sisters are played by Gabby Hoffman and Amy Landecker. Okay, let's take a listen.
I think Dad's losing his mind. I went online and looked up his symptoms. The first sign of dementia is a changing personality.
Oh, it's not dementia.
Like, he has to be the center of attention, you know? Like, it's Zachy's third birthday when he showed up in the beekeeper costume.
That was hysterical.
No, it wasn't. It was inappropriate. Oh, God. You guys think it's real?
It's definitely real.
Okay, so what does this mean? Everything Dad has said and done before this moment is a sham? Like, he was just acting the whole time?
No.
It just means we all have to start over. Which is why I am going back to school. Sid told me about a program at SMC that sounds perfect for me.
Here we go.
Allie's got an interest.
Oh, yeah. She's going to sign up.
Yeah. Oh, and Dad's going to pay the registration fee.
Oh, yeah. She's going to need a new
wardrobe.
Dad's going to
get her some school shoes.
School shoes.
Dad's got to buy some clothes. When Dad got her the loom.
Loom!
Loom! The loom! Loom! Loom!
That's a scene from the first season of Transparent. I'm not sure if you agree with my assessment of how the show treats siblings, but was that something that interests you in the series?
Yeah, I think that was a huge part of it, and probably also part of my conversation with Jill before she said it's you, was we talked about Mark's and my relationship, because Jill has an older sister, and they came up in their own little magical world. And it just so happens that, you know, Mark and I are kind of like twins, and Gabby is incredibly tight with her sister, who's significantly older than her, but it was kind of like a mother-sister figure with her. And Amy also has a sister that she was incredibly close with. So that was something that I think was critical to the process, is that we all understood that we had to be brutally honest with each other. And I think I do agree with your assessment, and I would probably just add one thing to it. One thing that you do with your siblings when you love them more than life itself is your cruelty can often come from trying to force them to be who they truly are. Sometimes that's nefarious because you may be mistaken about who they are, but you also want them to be the best version of themselves. And so particularly for Josh, a lot of his difficulty and confusion in life comes from the fact that, you know, he did come up in a household full of incredibly strong women. And I think it was hard for him to find his identity, but also it's probably why he has so much trouble dating, is that he holds everyone to the candle of his sisters, who he worships.
I really like what you just said there about siblings. I think that's so spot on about sort of wanting more for them than sometimes they see for themselves.
Yeah, I think your siblings are kind of like the holders of the candle for your ultimate potential.
You do such a good job with Josh. Do people often confuse you, Jay, with Josh and think that you might be very similar to him?
I think it's weird sometimes, yes, when people see me in public because, you know, I've been with my wife for 15 years and we have two kids and I'm a family guy and I'm quiet and reserved, you know. So I am playing a character who's very, very different from me. More than anything, what's interesting about playing Josh is because the Pfeffermans feel so real and are so specific to the east side of LA, which is where I live, that a lot of times I have people, they'll just start talking to me like they know me, and then they start to realize within a minute that they don't know me and that I'm inside their TV because the show is so fluid. I mean, I've even had people ask if I'm really Gabby's brother, which is insane. It's like, don't you know how TV works? But people just are really taken by the show and really believe and feel this family.
Jay and Mark Duplass, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mark and Jay Duplass spoke with Fresh Air producer Anne Maria Baldonado. The Duplass brothers created the HBO series Togetherness. Season 2 begins a week from Sunday. Mark stars in the series. Jay co-stars in the Amazon series Transparent. The Duplass brothers are also the executive producers of the new HBO animated series Animals. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, is political polling good or bad for democracy? We'll talk with historian and journalist Jill Lepore, who explores that question in her New Yorker article, Politics and the New Machine. And we'll talk with Nate Silver, founder of the blog 538, which reports on and analyzes polling data, aggregates polls, and predicts outcomes. I hope you'll join us. Fresh Air's executive producer is Yanni Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, and Thea Chaloner. I'm Terry Gross.